Good morning.
I knew I was going to do this. I told anybody who is here, anybody who knows me knows this about me, but I'm going to cry. It's just going to happen. I've asked the Lord, I said, listen, if you want me to talk for you, I don't want to do this. I don't want to cry. I don't really want to do this in front of people. And he said, too bad. That's just it. But I'm going to tell you, y'all are the most beautiful sight. I am overwhelmed at the honor of being able to talk to you today. I am so honored at this. No. Thank you. Thank you for being here. So let me tell you a little bit about my style and how I do stuff. You've got a folder in front of you. Listen, when we get into the Word of God, we got to mark it up, ladies. We got to write all over it. You've got some pencils, colored pencils, color, do whatever, in the middle of your table. You got a pen in there. You got a little packet. Get this little packet out. We're going on to session one, scripture right here. You mark this thing up. You make notes all over it. There's places for you to make notes. And then at the end of this, we're going to have just some personal alone time with the Lord. And then we're going to discuss. But this is, I want you guys to get into God's word with me. So I want to set that up first. Let me take my watch off so I know what I'm doing here. So our theme for the day is purified hope. And I think everybody in this room knows that this world is struggling to find hope. One of the key elements of depression is the belief that things are hopeless. If you think that your problems are hopeless, you're likely to give up trying, probably going to isolate yourself, become more depressed, cycle down. Hopelessness is a symptom of all sorts of behavioral and mental health issues, including depression, anxiety, bipolar, eating disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, substance dependency, suicidal ideation. Hopelessness. This is a huge problem in our culture because here's the deal. Every one of us needs hope. Every one of us is looking for hope. But if we put our hope in the wrong thing, we cycle down. And if we put our hope in the wrong thing, this can often be a cause of more hopelessness. So we need a hope that is not going to disappoint. I want you to think about your own life for a second. Just take a personal inventory, and I want you to think about, what are you hoping for? What is your hope? Is your hope to be healed of something? Is your hope that you would get a new job, find a new home, have a restored relationship? What's going to happen in your life if you get that thing you hope for? And what's going to happen in your life if you don't? This is where I will share a little bit of my story with you. Several years ago, I found myself in a pretty deep crisis, and I was struggling to find hope. I was in a terrifying situation with one of my children. And I talked with him before I said, hey, I'm going to talk to a bunch of ladies, and I'm not going to tell all the details of your story, but would you be okay if I shared it from my perspective? And he said, sure, Mom, I feel like everybody already knows anyway, so that's fine. So We were in a really bad, dark place. And I was struggling to find hope. I was looking for answers to his problems. I had tons of suggestions, helpful advice, not so helpful advice, all kinds of people encouraging me, you can do this, it's going to be okay. But I'm like, is it? Is it going to be okay? Really didn't have a sure hope that it was going to be okay. It felt very uncertain, very unknown. So I was gripped with fear, anxiety, and hopelessness. I didn't really feel like I had a way out. At one point in time, this was so overwhelming to me that my husband thought I was having a stroke. He took me to the emergency room. My body had so reacted to the stress and the anxiety that I was experiencing that I was having stroke-like symptoms. I was not having a stroke. You can't live. But I was living in a constant state of fight or flight, and you can't live like that. You can't live with that kind of anxiety. I knew what I needed was a purified hope. A rock-solid hope that was not dependent on my circumstances or even on my healing or my son's healing or even life itself. I needed something that was better, something that was sure, something that I could put my whole weight and faith on. So in the process of all of this, I realized that there are basically two kinds of hope. There is the hope that the world gives us, and then there is the hope that the Bible talks about. So we're going to look at this today. So the first kind of hope is a hope-so hope. This is a circumstantial hope. It might happen, it might not happen. You can kind of stack the deck and like do more that maybe that's going to happen, but there's no guarantee. It might not. So if it happens, great. If it doesn't happen, then where are you? So examples of this are maybe getting a promotion or finding this new place to live or reconciling with a family member, being healed. These are all great things, and they're good gifts from God for sure. But if we put our hope in an expected outcome and that thing does not come to pass, we can become hopeless. And this can lead to fear and depression and anxiety because we're putting our hope in the wrong thing. This is what I needed. I had so much hope for this son of mine. But I had no surety that he was going to be okay. So as people were giving me advice and telling me all sorts of things, I'm like, yeah, but I don't know how this is going to turn out. I really don't. This feels very unsafe. I need something better. So there is a no-so hope, and this is the second kind of hope. This is the kind of hope that the Bible talks about. Let me give you a definition of hope from the Bible. This is a strong confidence in the promises of God and the character of God as it relates to the future. I'm going to say that again. If you want a no-so hope that is rock solid and will never disappoint, this is strong confidence in the promises of God and the character of God as it relates to the future. I knew it was futile to believe a false promise that God had not guaranteed in his word, and this is what I was struggling with. I wanted to find in this book that everything was going to be okay with my son, that this thing that I thought was going to happen was going to turn out the way I wanted it to happen. But I couldn't find exactly what I was looking for. I found something better. And confident better. What I found was that you can have a sure
and confident hope in who God is, in God. This isn't some super spiritual idea. This is like how I live my life. This is a real living thing. So let's look at some of these. You've got some verses here. Because I started to study, what does the Bible say about this? If I want to have a hope, I want to know what God's word says about this. So first, Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, because he who promised is faithful. Okay, this is a characteristic of God. God is faithful. He's going to be faithful to me. I can hope in that. Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord, where am I hoping? In the Lord, will renew their strength. I needed strength. Hope in the Lord. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Hope in the Lord. This word hope here, it means to wait, to look for expectantly, to keep your eyes like looking, like if you're looking for something, you know? This is what that word means. If I hope in the Lord. Psalm 33:18 says, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love. This word here, his unfailing love, this is a great Hebrew word. It's kind of this all-encompassing word about his love, his mercy, his kindness, his goodness, his favor. I could hope in this, in the character of my God. Psalm 33:2 says, may your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Psalm 135 says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And okay, in his word, I put my hope. I got to know what he says. Amen. I got to know what he says. And where am I going to find out what he says? I'm going to find out what he says right here. Amen. This is where I'm going to find out what he says. It's not what I think. What I think doesn't matter. It's what he says. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope, wait a second, so he's a God of hope? The God of hope may fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is taking me a new direction. I've got a thing to hope in now, and it is God. I don't know what's going to happen in this situation that's causing me so much anxiety, but I know I can put my hope in him. And then God also promises that we can have an eternal hope for those who know him. In 1 Peter 1:3-6, he has given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. And we have an inheritance for those who belong to him that will never perish, spoil, or fade. So as I'm studying all of this and I'm seeing all of this, I'm seeing this connection between trusting, hoping, and waiting. Trusting, hoping, and waiting. And let me explain, waiting, the Bible, this biblical description of waiting is not passive. This isn't like I'm giving up and I'm just going to pull the covers over my head and I'm going to bed and don't leave me, you know, don't talk to me. This is a hopeful waiting. This is an active waiting, as we're going to see here in just a minute. So there is this connection between trust and hope and wait, and we're trusting in him, in God, in his word, in his character. And that's where my heart is going to be safe. This is where I can put my hope. So if I'm going to put my hope in God, next point is I've got to know God. And this is where it gets a little tricky, ladies. Because there's a lot of people talking about God. Lots of people talking about him. God thinks this. God says that. God believes this. God would never. God would always. All kinds of advice out there on what God says. But the only place to know for sure who God is through his word and what God says about himself. So I need to know him. on your placemats there in front of you. It's kind of our verse of the day. Daniel 11:32. The people who know their God will display strength and take action. Who know their God. What does it mean to know God? This word is this really intimate word in the Bible. It means to know by experience, to perceive, to understand, to like really, really, really know. Really know intimately. So the people who intimately know their God are going to display strength and take action. This is where the power in your life is going to come from. Do you want to see change in your life? Do you want for things to be different? You have to know your God. That's where it comes from. Bottom line. Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom." So it doesn't matter all the stuff that you know. Doesn't matter. "Let not the mighty man boast of his might." Doesn't matter. It's a lot of like, you go, girl, you can do it. You're strong enough. You can do it. Hold on. I don't think that this is what this is saying. "Let not a rich man boast in his riches." It's not about what you have. It is not about what you have. "But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things." This is the character of our God. If we want to understand, we need to have insight, we need to give attention to him, we need to consider who he is. So how are we going to know that? What is it about his word that's going to tell us? Because he reveals himself here. And I want to really focus in on two things today that we're going to learn about him. How does he reveal himself? He reveals himself through his names. Did you know that God has, there are many names that we see in God in the Bible that talk about God, that show us who he is. At the back of your packet there, there's a list of several of the names of God. And today we're going to go over four of them. But we need to know his names and we need to know his attributes. Because if we know this, we will understand who he is and we will have hope if we know who he is. If the whole world is burning down and things are going crazy, which it kind of is, we do not need to fear because the people who know their God will display strength and take action. So the names are interesting in the Bible. They're really much more significant than kind of how we name our kids. I mean, some of us have like some reason why we named our children something, but in the Bible, one of the things you see is the name like represents something. Like Abram goes to Abraham. God changes his name because now he's the father of many nations. And we see that Jacob, who was kind of a scoundrel, is now, his name is Israel because he wrestled with God and he knows God now. We see this, Saul goes to Paul. The name is significant. It tells us something about the nature and the character of God. So, Proverbs 18:10 says this. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." The name of the Lord, all that he represents. And let me be clear on this. This is not like some kind of magical incantation or like some sort of like, I can just say his name and this isn't magic. And sometimes people say, if I just say God's name, then this is the magic. It's not magical. It's the character and the nature of who he is. It's how he reveals himself in his word. It's the whole encompassing of who God is. That is the name of the Lord, is a strong tower. And you think about There's a lot of fighting going on in the Old Testament. Lots of wars, lots of backs and forths, lots of issues. A strong tower is a place that you can go to hide and be safe from the crazy. It's where you can be protected. It's a refuge. It's a place of peace. God provides a wonderful and strong defense. And it is a it is in his character and his attributes. So because the name of the Lord represents his character and all its aspects, the believer can think about the aspects of God's character and find a strong, safe refuge in them. It's as simple as this. So you can say, so we start naming what his attributes are. Lord, you are a God of love. So I'm going to find refuge in your love for me. You are a God of mercy. You forgive sins. I'm going to find refuge in your mercy. Lord, you are a God of strength. I have no strength of my own. I'm going to find my refuge in your strength. And Lord, you are a God of righteousness. And I definitely have no righteousness of my own. So I am going to find refuge in your righteousness. Look with me here at Psalm 20 as we look at the names of God. Psalm 20 really talks about the name of God in three different places that we're going to kind of break down here. And I want you to see this. In verse 1, it says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. And let me set the stage here. Okay, so this is David. Psalm 20 is written. David is the king of Israel, and he is going out to battle, and it's not looking good. There's more on that side than there is on this side. And and everybody knows it. This is a corporate prayer. Everybody knows it's not looking good. But going into this battle, they are crying out to the Lord, and they are praying, and they are saying, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Do you have a day of trouble? Mm-hmm. The God of Jacob in the day of trouble. This is where you go. And may the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. The name of the God of Jacob. There were a lot of gods all over the place at this time. But this psalmist is identifying, no, we're talking about this God, the God of the Bible, God creator, Elohim, El Elyon, God most high, ruler and maker over all. This is the God we're talking about because today we also have this, don't we? We have a lot of other little gods, people that, things that we put our whole hope, value, worth in. That is not God. Something to think about. Where are you putting all of your hope? Do you have some other God besides the God of this world? Of our Elohim, creator God, sovereign over all? So, because may the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. So during a battle, okay, you've got your valleys, you've got your mountains. Where are you going to win the battle? Probably up here in a safe place so that you can see what's going on. Do you need a place of safety? Do you feel vulnerable and exposed? Call out to this God. Verse 4, we jump down. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. When our desires are in accord with the plan and the will of God for us, we can pray this same prayer with confidence. We can also look for God to bring our desires more and more into conformity with his. That's the story of my life. Verse 5 says, we will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of God, we will set up our banners. Okay, this is good news, ladies, good news. Okay, what does this mean? In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. So raising the banner signified victory over the enemy. like here. No, Satan, not today. No, I declare victory in the name of the Lord and who he is, not today. So where do you need to set up a flag of defiance to the enemy? Are you battling? Is it in your mind? Are you battling things in your mind that you need to say no? No, Satan, this is not the truth of what God has to say. I am not owning that. No, you have no place here. I believe what God says. How are you being attacked? Think about this for a second. What is coming at you? Say, no, this is not what God's word says. I am not believing that is true. We set up our banners in the name of God. And then let's jump down to verse 7. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Okay, what does that mean, boast in chariots and horses? I don't have a chariot or a horse. So am I tempted to do this? I am absolutely tempted to do this. Chariots and horses are kind of like the best defense of the day. You know, this was the good stuff. This was whatever they thought was going to deliver them. This is what most of the other nations were doing. They were putting all of their hope in chariots and horses. This was like the good military defense. So we're told here not to boast in chariots or horses, whatever it is that we're putting our hope in that is not him, but to boast in the name of the Lord our God. To boast means to have confidence in, to trust in. And so we're to trust in his name. So what are you running to help you? Where are you going? We have all kinds of places that we go, don't we? Sometimes it's to addiction, right? Sometimes that seems to be the place that, for the moment, feels like it's going to be our safe place. Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's some relationship. If I could just be with him, then I'll be safe from all these other things. What's your chariot and your horse? Where are you going? Because we need to have confidence in the name of the Lord our God. Because he calls on the, he answers us when we call out to him. So I, kind of how this is going to work is I want you to go through these scriptures that we just talked about. I'm going to give you about 10 to 15 minutes to just have some time alone. Because it's one thing for me to talk. It's another thing for you to read these scriptures and to get in your mind alone with God and think. So you have a page there that says hearing from the Lord with some questions. And I want you to read through the scriptures that we just talked about, and take some time to answer these questions. So I'm going to pray for y'all, and we'll discuss at the table, but this is a quiet time. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would take this word and apply it to our hearts so that we might be changed. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.